It is now my pleasure to welcome this afternoon's host, Sue Smith, who will be doing No Change Without Change.
So I wouldn't clap too early, so... So the session I'm doing is making change happen with no change. That's okay. And the story is, in giving you a choice, is I just sat down and did it last night and I had lots of writing about all the things you can do. Then I got to the interesting bit about joining things like change.org and how to use technology. So I thought, we've only got 50 minutes. Now, I can do a slow presentation through all the written bits, or I could go fast, and I thought we could get, and it's completely up to you, to the part about setting up Facebook, starting petitions, making posters, using Twitter, and we could actually pick an issue and do it. Do some stuff on technology here and now. So what would people like? Can either just go through the session, or would you like to do some more hands-on stuff? I suppose I should do a hands-up. Hands-up who'd like to just go through the session and learn it all? Yes? And hands-up... Oh, looks like the majorities have it. Hands-up who'd like to do some more hands-on stuff. Ooh, I think the session does it all. But maybe we're going to have time to do both. So, in that case, I will stay up here. So the first step in making change happen is picking your issue. What's the issue that you want to lobby or campaign on? And it sounds easy because we'll go, we've got a million issues and it's this, that and that. But it's particularly for groups, you've got to get together. What is the problem and what is the issue? And it might be things like not enough accessible transport, people being bossed around in CRUs, not enough housing for people with disabilities, closing institutions, a myriad of issues, too many issues, I think, for a lot of people. So I thought I would start by finding out from the audience, and now I will come down, what are some of the issues you think are important, and we'll use some of those issues in the presentation today. What are things that you'd like to change? So I'll come down with the mic. Some issues you're passionate about? Cole.
The rights for people with intellectual disability living in community residential units or group homes to have the same basic human rights as anybody else in the community, and so that we can go in and do his training for the staff.
You want the life to improve dramatically for people in group homes. Susan?
For parents with a disability to be able to keep their children at home with the support they need, and for their children not to be removed because the government might think this is the easiest solution.
Okay, thanks, Sue. I'm hoping that some of the things that I'm going to show will actually work really well for that issue and for yours. Any other issues that people wanted to add into the mix? Yep.
That people with intellectual disability who work in the ADEs or the sheltered workshops are paid fair wages.
That's a big one. Yep. Maybe we can do some of the practical stuff today around some of those. Any other issues here?
Better access to employment and no more poverty for people with disabilities.
Yep. Excellent. Again, it's the big job one, isn't it? Fair pay. Not enough jobs. And Gabriel.
Okay, more choice in housing.
Yep. Thanks, yeah.
And to close all these institutions in the whole of Australia and never ever to be built again.
Excellent. All right. So we have a good lot of issues and we'll try and use those as examples when we go through some of the change you can do with no change. Now, I'm going to get my mics mixed up. Yes?
Adding two more than two wheelchairs.
Yes. Absolutely.
Also, depending on your train, but most trains now.
Yep. So we've got some really good issues there, and we'll look at them as we go and look at some of the ways of making change happen. So the first thing, there's two things. There's lobbying and campaigning. And sometimes it's like, what's one and what's the other? And lobbying, I often think that lobbying is the first thing you do, but you can do it along with campaigning. And it's telling the people who make the decisions about the issues and problems that concern you and trying to get them to understand the problems and what is needed to be done to fix it. And campaigning can be a lot of activities that you do to raise a lot of, you know, to really raise to community, government, lots of people about the things that you want change. And campaigns can last a long time and target everyone. I'll give an example of Reinforce did the Plain English Less Jargon campaign. Years ago, all government documents came out in jargon, fair to say. And for a lot of people with intellectual disability said, well, our rights are denied because information is power, and unless we get information the way we understand it, it means we don't have a seat at the table. And Reinforce campaigned, I don't know, for about 10 years, a big campaign, Plain English, Less Jargon, and now, well, within DHS, with stuff to do with disability, there's plain English. It hasn't spread yet to other departments, but it's a long-term campaign. Yeah. But it's an example of how long it can take to make change happen. So why lobby? You lobby decision makers because you want to change the way things are done. And you've just come up exactly with the ones I picked: closing institution, more accommodation, better jobs and better employment. So now I'm just going to go straight to the tips. Letters to the editor are a great way of doing lobbying with without money. Politicians really try and gauge what the community's thinking, what the issues are. So they'll have press people going through the letters, what are the issues, what are people talking about. So I'd encourage people to write letters for the editor. If you see any little thing about, say, employment, even if it's about employment, not around disability, you know, a letter to the editor going, that's great, but did you know? And so some of the tips are just one issue per letter. You want to make it, introduce your problem as your first thing, a few sentences to support your view, a summary and something punchy, and the last thing is proofread your letter. So keep it short and to the point, and tell the reader how they can take action. If you support this issue, you can. If you're writing about an article in the newspaper that appeared in the newspaper, say about employment and that, mention that article. I will load this PowerPoint up on the SARU website the week after next. The next one is my passion. And I don't know, most of the people, members of self-advocacy groups will know that I go out and tell everybody over and over again, people underestimate the power of your local MP. Everyone wants to go straight to the minister. And the minister gets hundreds of those letters, and if you've ever written to a minister, you'll see that you get the advisor or the assistant does a little letter back that the minister signs. But local politicians are really important, and local politicians want to win elections. And if they sense the mood is that there's a groundswell, they'll go into a party room and say, well, I've heard this is happening in my electorate around people with employment. I saw a great, when you talked about the sheltered workshop wages, I refuse to call them business services. I just saw a YouTube clip of Adam Bandt in federal parliament talking about it. That was so powerful, and that was how getting a politician to take on board an issue. So I just can't recommend enough to not just visit and tell the issue, but build a relationship with your local politician. So you get in touch, either write to them and include a fact sheet about the issue you'd like to meet and talk to them with, pick up the phone. Very few people lobby the MP by phone. Ring up their electoral office, build a relationship with their electoral officer, and prepare in advance before you go to the meeting what you want to say. keep it in concise and include your top three issues and concerns. Because you know your issues so very, very well. It's in your head. You know it off by heart about parenting, Sue, all the issues and that. They don't. So if you keep the clear points about what you'd like to happen. And when you get there, be friendly and polite. Also, take your fact sheet with you. Leave it with them written in paper, because if they don't have a paper, they won't remember it. Do your homework. Now, I was doing some research with this PowerPoint, and even though I bang on and on and on about local politicians, I hadn't thought of this one. Do your research and find out what their stances on different issues are and what are their interests. So you can not only talk about your interests, but you can go, I believe you're interested in such and such. We have that, but also somehow link it. So you're working to build a relationship with them. Never lie or make up information. And their strengths in numbers. So if you've got a network, so Susan, if you were to go and talk about the issue of parents having their children removed with disabilities, you would say, plus I have started a self-advocacy group which has 5 members. Or if you had a network, there's a network of us concerned about accommodation, not just us. So let them know there's a bigger lot of people interested. When you're there, and I think this was another good one, which I'm bad at, is be a good listener. Don't do all the talking. Make it have a conversation. But also, press for a commitment. Ask, what are you going to do to support the issue? Or will you come and talk to our group? Or can we get to show you a video of the issue? Get a commitment, but also get something that keeps the relationship going. Is it okay if we keep dropping into your office once a month to update you on what's happening? Get a relationship working. Say thank you, and don't forget the staff. Because when I started out, I don't know, I'm looking at the audience, probably close to one of the oldest. Who remembers John Cain? Yes. And he was the local politician. He'd just become the premier where we were setting up in an area, sort of a drop-in community centre for people that lived in an institution. We had the thing to ask him to launch it. We thought he'd only just become premier that week, but he was the local Bundoora politician and he actually agreed to come. And then we built an ongoing relationship with his electoral officer. So we would pop in all the time. And it kind of guaranteed that we also got an in into him regularly and his electoral officer feeded into him. So he supported us for about 10 years, actually got us funding, got us for 2 workers, got us land on the institution, not much to their upset. They were very upset. But, you know, that their staff are really important. Don't burn bridges unnecessarily. So even if you're really angry about them not responding, don't just go, well, I'm out of here, I don't want to talk to you. Just keep it going. And the squeaky wheel, what I said, like plain English, less jargon, often can make an impact. And say thank you and follow up. The thank you note, email. Now, this is going to be a strange one for lobbying. Use the Victorian State Plan, and I do believe they're talking about that in the next room, but I developed a kit about using the Victorian State Plan to lobby. Now, one of the things, this is my wrong presentation. It's not what you want to see. I changed it since then. So one of the things I did, and I just did this using PowerPoint. Now, I know this is change with no change, but it cost about $100 to print about 300. And they're postcards around some of the points about the state plan. So, like accessible transport, we need to work together to make public transport more accessible. The Victorian State Disability Plan says that people should have transport option, that there should be more transport options for people with disabilities. And on the back, you can send it off. You can send it off to the Transport Department. I'm really freaking out that I've got the wrong PowerPoint as I speak. I'll have to ad-lib. There's a much nicer one that I changed last night. So you can send it off to the transport department, because all different government departments, not just disability, have to. It's a whole of government plan. So you can say, dear so-and-so, did you know that? We would like to meet with you to talk about what you're doing. The other thing is, you can just hand them out. Susan, who posed for this, we had a great example of it. When we went and took this photo, the tram person in the orange, the yellow, bright yellow thing was saying, we're just taking a photo for a thing about accessible trams. He went, but you can get on it just down there. And Susan went, yeah, but I can't get off the other end. He goes, oh, well, you know, that's going to take a lot of money and time, da, 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 da. And I said, I wish I had one of these cards just to inform him. Well, you might think that, but actually the state government believes that all, don't stand here and argue with Susan about be grateful for what you've got. The state government supports it. So we made cards like that, and just using PowerPoint to make them up, and you can use them to just send to a whole lot of people. Why campaign? You start a campaign because there's something that people are not happy about. So we've looked at some lobbying tips, and that's really important. And you might also start a campaign because you've lobbied and lobbied and lobbied and nothing's worked. So before you decide to start a campaign, you need to think about the issue. So if it's something about your local shop doesn't have a ramp, that might not need a great big campaign. That might be more about lobbying the local shop, lobbying your local councillors. Is it an issue that only affects one people? How many people does it affect? Why do we think it's important? Is it a human right? And what's our message we want to get across? So we talked about some of the issues here, and I would have to say I'd make a fair call that all of them are pretty good issues for campaigning. I think the rights of parents with an intellectual disability, Sue, is something that there should be a strong campaign about. And I think within politics, local members, all of that, and the community are not aware of the percentage of people, particularly with an intellectual disability, that just have their children taken from them.
Because I believe if they're keeping it hidden so that normal people can't complain about it. So we, that, like you were saying before, take your evidence. I've got no research evidence that says like 100 people have lost their children.
But you do have, don't you, Redfern Legal Services done a whole lot of reports on it.
Yep. Agency, they can say we will do reports on it, we'll say it's not fair, they will not tell you how, they will say like a big percentage of parents in this area are likely to be acted on, but that's all they can say, they cannot give us a number.
Yep. So in that case, I'd take the evidence you have. I'd take the report that says a big percentage. So if you don't have the exact numbers, take whatever reports and evidence you have.
Is research good too, or is it more legal better?
I wouldn't, again, if you're just going to meet with a politician, I'd only have a, I wouldn't be, I would just be going, reports have shown that, you know, and if you want to find those reports, you can get them here, or if you're more interested in reading, because you don't want to go, here's a whole lot of academic research and stuff, because it will go in the drawer, but let them know that there's evidence backing up and that this is a really serious issue. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And You'd get them all to you'd get every member of your group to go to their local member, including yourself. That's what I'd do. And later on, I do talk exactly about that. The power of the personal story can never be underestimated. And that's a really important part of campaigning.
Sorry, I'm not
going to hear. Oh, no. I hope so. Before you... sorry, Cole, go.
Just in regards to the transport, sorry, I was a bit of a chat now. The transport, yes, it is accessible, but it's only accessible in the city.
That's right.
In the city, it's not accessible.
That's
so
right.
How do I get there?
Yep. And there's another great example of campaigning. And it's a big one for a campaign. I remember after the last conference here, which was about 3 years ago, there was an inspiring speaker who came from America. What was his name? I've forgotten. He was a singer. And Johnny Crescendo. And then after he was here, he went and talked to WIDAS and they said, let's do an action now. And they went and did a whole thing in front of the trams in Melbourne. So they did an instant sort of campaign there to raise, and they made the papers. So before you start the campaigns can take a bit of work. So you get all your information together and like you said, Sue, make sure it's correct, because the last thing you want to turn is someone to go, oh, well, actually, that's not right. I've got proof to the otherwise. Write down why your issue is important. Get all the evidence to support what you're saying. Collect people's stories and choose spokespeople and decide who you are targeting. Is it politicians and government that have the power to change things? Is it the services that have the power to is it about the services, like in CRUs, who has the power to change that? Is it community organisations? Is it about not access to, for a lot of country people, I think the group in Warrnambool, not here, they did a campaign with Target not being accessible. Is it the general community or is it businesses?
So in that sense then, who would it be responsible if the first thing I'm trying to get across to them without worrying about anything else is the UN and having it stated in the Disability Act that the disability services must provide and help us with our children?
In your case, if you were wanted to campaign news in the UN and lobby, and just so you know, I've got a printout here for people to take of the names and contact details of all the federal MPs. I couldn't get the contact details without going through the website for the state ones, but I've got their regions and names, so if you want to take that, because the federal government has signed the UN Convention, and I'll bet your average MP has no idea about that. So that would be my starting point.
Why do they agree with it? We're a whole country. Why is the state members not known and meant to be acting again on something?
Sorry, did you bring this in to actually take photos? I'm sorry that it's gone off.
I can't explain that. And I might be wrong, but I don't know. Who would think that every local MPs across the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities... Yep. I agree, but part of the lobbying is to go in and let them know about it and educate them and say this is, and I'm here particularly about, but if you don't step across the, it does, but if you don't step across the threshold and sit down and have the conversation, it's never going to You've got to, as I keep saying to people who get really frustrated, and I understand people get frustrated about lobbying for change and it never happens, but unless you've got a seat at the table, it definitely won't happen. And so in your case, I'd also target the community, because I don't think the community is aware quite what is happening here. I think it's one of the hidden, really human rights things, the removal of children. Can I just say, though, you're doing a fantastic example of lobbying right now. I'd like to know, hands up the people in the audience who weren't aware of the number of children that are removed from people with disability. So you've just done practical lobbying in this room soon. So now people are going to walk out aware of that issue, which is fantastic.
I'll tell you, I'm
going to
say it until I'm blue in the face and I'm
into it. There you go. Like the squeaky wheel. I think I said that a few slides away, the squeaky wheel. So it's really important to work out who you're targeting with the campaign. Networks and partners. The next thing is to, if you have a campaign, try and bring together other groups that share the same ideas as you. Other people that are affected by the problem. But not just other people who are affected by the problem, people who are experienced in running campaigns. So all that frustration, I'm going to use you as the example all the way through, Sue, so thank you for that. You would go to people that are experienced in running campaigns, and you know what I often say, a lot of times people go within disability, go outside. One of the best campaign runners I've ever seen is the Breast Cancer Network of Australia with a field of women. And, you know, you look now and you go, there's pink everywhere, there's da-da-da-da-da. I'll say that I was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was 40. Now, that was 1997. It wasn't so much, and particularly for younger people. And the Breast Cancer Network started out with one worker in one office. Now, yes, it's an issue that attracts a lot of money because it's not political and it doesn't threaten people and there's a feel-good factor, but they experienced campaigners and they're very generous. In sharing. So we'll go to the Greens or environmental groups. Get people, talk to people who are experienced in campaigners. And again, that thing that Martin said, people that have the lived experience of the issue, your voice is the strongest in your campaign. I think people sitting here today who haven't heard about it, listening to you, it's the strongest voice. So think about who would be good partners for you in the campaign. And there's not just partners. So there's not just partners that are building their campaign. There's just people who can help you. So it might be politicians that you've met that you know feel the same way. So get a list of people. It might be local disability advisory councils with government or local council or advocacy organisations. Like we said, Redfern Legal Service has information on the issue of parents. So get them to help you with the campaign. And again, people who have lived the issue. The next one is an election's coming. Lobby, lobby, lobby. I can't say it enough, your local politician. But the latest thing I've been thinking a lot about is going beyond politicians and trying to get to party branch meetings, because they decide who their MPs are going to be. Every year I go to the Marxism conference because it has the best international guest speakers that I've ever, you know, you can get in one room. And every time I sit there, I think, oh, these radicals here, if they knew what was happening in sheltered workshops, that there's slavery happening in Australia today, that there's children being taken from people. People with disability should be on this agenda. Find out where local branches are of Liberal Party, Greens. It can't hurt but to ring and say, can we come and talk about this issue? Meet with the opposition spokespeople. There's definitely a Victorian election coming. There might be a change. Find out who the opposition spokesperson is for disability. And I found out the other day myself, because we're planning to invite the person along to one of our, the SARU meetings. Because after the election, when they're minister, you're not going to get a look in. But before, they're going to want to see you. So make use now of the election for your issue. So here's my big one, using technology. Yeah, and I'll show you why. It's sort of blue because it's going to take you places. And you'll see in a minute. So using technology is great for lobbying with no money. So you can use Facebook, and I've got an example here. This is what I was meaning, like if we wanted to do it the other way, we could have actually set up a Facebook page for an issue or a Twitter. But here's an example of Facebook being used as a campaign. And it's the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign. You can't see. I can go and ask. I can see that. Everyone's... I just looked for campaigns. I googled campaigns on Facebook, disability campaigns on Facebook. Yes, so Facebook for a campaign. And then once you've got the Facebook page and you're putting your papers together for to go to politicians or to do different things, you've then got a website address without a website going. If you want to find out more, if you want to support us, go to that. So I think it's a great tool for campaigning. Yes, because you can upload photos, you can upload videos. So I've been working with Susan's group to make a video. You could upload parts of that video to Facebook, but I've got more places for information to come. So you can get supporters, you can post updates about what's happening, photos. See, they've put a thing here about Lateline. You could link to Insight that you did, Sue. So Facebook's a great one. Keep on hitting the like button. That's right. Send out a mass email to everyone going, like our campaign page. Absolutely. Now, Twitter. I only just started a SARU Twitter site. Haven't been new to it, but I went to a talk on Monday last week. It was two academics from England. And they've got a massive campaign going called Justice for LB, and Twitter's one of their main things they use. And he was a young man. Apparently they have these places that like are like institutions but have got a fancy name, a bit like sheltered workshops being called business services, some sort of social housing thing, but they're not, they're institutions. And he was a young man who died there through neglect. So they've started a whole Justice for LB campaign so that this never happens again. And they used Twitter. And they had the... Oh, stop. I'm so sorry. I'll turn it off now. That's right. It's bad when the guest speaker has to turn off their own mobile phone. And so you'll see they've just, and they put links in it. So you link to your web page, you link to your Facebook page, you link to media stuff. And I see this discussion has been thrown wide open, rights and reality at WordPress. So there, lots of this is about links. And another learning disability is what they use for the term intellectual disability in England. Broken arm during restraint, broken leg when being put in seclusion. So Twitter is a good way of just getting things out quick and short and punchy and adding it to your tool. And they had a big... And talk about free campaigning... campaigning with no change, they came with a banner that was just painted on a sheet to give their talk, and they just had hashtag justice for LB that they held up when they were talking. Very cheap, very easy to do. Very powerful. YouTube. Now, here's the one. If you've got a smartphone or a laptop, this one is a little video about Disabled Students Campaign Get Involved. A little YouTube, sorry, clip.
Created when society doesn't adapt to the needs of individuals. There's nothing wrong with me, sometimes society just makes it really difficult. Challenge your perceptions about disability and think differently about it.
So I'm not saying you can make a great big presentation like that, but that students obviously have got together to campaign, and where they talked about scroungers, this was something that was really interesting, and that opening thing of lots of headlines about, you know, people bludging on the disabled pension. The two academics from England, where we've got leaners and lifters, where the government talks about people are leaners if they're on the pension and there's lifters. In England, the language is scroungers and strivers. The scroungers are people on the disability support pension there, and the strivers are people that are striving and earning money and consuming. And so when they had scroungers in there, that's what they were referring to. But you can just video... I do it a lot, just with an iPad or a phone, someone's talking straight to camera, send it up to YouTube. Collect lots of personal stories straight to camera, send it up to YouTube, send out the links. So you go. You can go and watch people's personal stories here at these links. Again, so hit the likes. So get everyone to hit the likes. And you can put that in your thing. We have a YouTube clip and 4,000 people have watched it, you can say to your politicians. Change.org, which I'm sure most people have heard of, but it's a petition place. And Sue, it's the sort of thing that you could start a petition tomorrow about this issue. This one's about Teresa. And she started a petition against people being forced into nursing. She was forced into a nursing home at 49, so young people in nursing homes. And so she's using change.org to write petitions. So cost nothing, get it going, send it out to all your networks, try and build momentum with that. And in particular, if you add it to a YouTube clip, all of that stuff, you build up a whole big campaign. Now, Bambooza, who's heard of Bambooza? So it's a new one. And it was used, it first came something that really rose to the occasion during the Arab Spring in Egypt. Because, and I've got it on my thing, you've got an app on your iPad or your phone that links directly to it. You can, I could film you here now, press and upload, it goes straight up to Bambooza. So again, you don't have to fiddle around like YouTube doing anything. It immediately goes live. We put all our Saru memos. I get filmed just in my office reading it out so people who have problems reading can know what's in the Saru memo. It goes straight up to Bambooza. So again, use it. Film people's stories. Just get them up, get the link, make it a campaign page. Go to our Bambooza page and watch people's stories. And so I'll just show just a little bit of Bambooza. Thank you, Sue. Bambooza is .com. And this is a video that was uploaded just again of a rally. Oh, you get an ad first. Oh, well. 13 seconds, you hear a bit about it.
With the highest support needs are paying back 19 times more than everyone else.
No, it's bad to hear, but it's basically similar to the, I think, the BSWAT, the wage assessment tool that's used here for people in sheltered workshops. They're saying scrap that tool, it's in England. It is so easy, Bambooza. Literally, I can do it. Because you have a little record button, press it, it's instant, so if you make a mistake, but you can delete it at the other end, and it's immediately up there, so it's instant. So if you'd have opted for the let's do practical thing, we would have put up a Bambooza thing of Sue talking or the group raising their issues, and then it would have been there. So, because we've got 9 minutes... Then there's pre-technology. That's what I've labelled this one. The old-fashioned written petition is another thing. People tend to go all for emails. Email petitions, I tend to think everybody's emailing them. I can't possibly think that the politicians are paying that much attention. But if you get a written bundle or a letter, maybe they will open it. Maybe it'll get somewhere. Okay, there you go. So that's something. You can't table online petitions. You can only table written petitions in Parliament. Information kits are great. People's stories. Get just folders, you know, the plastic cheap folders at Officework. Put in people's stories. Saru has a great way of using PowerPoint to make posters. People think you need to be a graphic designer. PowerPoint is the best poster-making thing, and if I had time, I could show you. You just drop your picture and can easily move it, put a slogan, print it out. So make a little kit. If you find films, like I love to Google. I Google anything. So using Sue's example, I'd Google around the world videos, looking for videos that people with disabilities have had their children removed. Burn them to a DVD and whack it in the kit. Letter campaigns. I think it's very rare that politicians get letters these days. And so an addressed letter and getting everyone to write a letter. We did that with John Cain once. We got everyone we knew to send letters because we knew we were about to get a funding cut. Didn't work. However, I think letter campaigns. Badges, posters, flyers, all of these things are great tools. So don't just think about technology. Amida's done a great thing with the upcoming election. They've written a position statement around accommodation. Amida is an advocacy service around accommodation for people with disabilities. And they've asked advocates to send out the letter and to send out the petition the position statement to all their local MPs. So it's rallying the troops and getting other people to do your work, get it disseminated. And it's just to the point of, these are the things we want you to think about. Do you want to speak to it a bit, Gabriel? No. And it's enlisting the help of other advocacy services. So it's, dear advocates, we want your support. We are writing to inform you of the position of AMIDA. While lobbying decision makers, we are also urging others to take up these issues and help put them on the agenda for decision makers. We hope you and your role as advocates can support the call for the closure of institutions and good housing for all. We're encouraging people to write to politicians, particularly those enclosed with this letter. A suggested letter is also enclosed to assist, but please feel free to change and add your own group's details. So it's again that thing of using your networks and rallying everyone to help with the issue. 4 minutes. Thanks, Sue. I'm nearly there. The community. It's really important in your campaign that you work to let people in the community know about the issue. And that's what I talked about, going to conferences that you haven't even thought of, like the Marxism conference, or getting out there and getting the community aware, because politicians listen to voters. So if they start to hear other people saying, what about this issue, or stuff in the media, it's also important that the community know. I better start speeding along. Getting the message to the community. You can hold a public rally, hold a campaign launch, arts projects and exhibitions. When Larissa's going to hate me for this, I know, but when Colin was talking about accessible transport, Larissa's just sent me an amazing artwork. Like, is it like a book or is it a series of... And, and so it talks about all the things that people with disabilities face on public transport, and it has humour and it's thought-provoking, and so art's really powerful. I also belong to a community art group, and we do lots of arts projects as an advocacy tool. We've just got funding from Australia Council for the Arts and Arts Victoria to work with people who are involved in the disability movement to tell the history of the disability movement using art. Public information seminars, street stalls, stickers and flyers and posters, flash mobs, and I've got a flash mob. I'm the Field of Women. Yeah? You did a flash mob? And so flash mob, do you know, can you say, what, tell people what it is? Yeah, so it's something in the public that no one's expecting that you all turn up and do, but it can raise an issue. So I think I've got a YouTube clip here of a flash mob around disability issues. Oh, I'm nearly finished. So it doesn't have to be dancing. You can think of something a bit more creative, because I think everyone does dancing, but some mass thing that has a message, something out of the box. The field of women... the field of women, which visually represented the number of women that die from breast cancer each year, very powerful way of getting a message across. Doing a theatre piece, reinforce... You just spent not a lot of time, was it? About 3 months working with a theatre person, and you made a fantastic small play about living in an institution. What was it called again? With the one day at a time with the clock ticking, every day getting your meals. No, the little play you did with Jenna. A Day in the Life or something. Well, you did do a play, and it was fantastic. And again, making films. No, you did an actual theatre piece. You had a clock ticking. You pretended to all get the food, the thing. I don't know what's happened there. That's the unfinished. There was pictures with this one too, I want to let you know. So I've loaded the unfinished one. But use the media. Send out press releases. Ring talkback radio. Politicians listen to talkback radio. Again, they want to get the mood of the community. So if there's something on talkback radio, ring. Find a media person who's interested in your issue. Plan events the media will want to go to. Make a press kit. Always put in DVDs. Do the job for them. Write the article for them, especially local newspapers. If they can just plop it in, they will. Get local newspapers. If you've got a member of your group or someone that's aware of the issue, get them to contact their local newspaper, because people like to do stories for their local newspaper. Issue press releases. Okay. This is still the unchanged one, because there was no step six go, but go. Everything's ready. Working for change, it may take a long time, so don't give up. Make sure you try and have fun, because it is hard, and enjoy some of the things you're doing. And if you get stuck or need training or ideas, you can contact Saru or Daru. Now, down the front here, I have some form letters that you can use to help writing to local MPs. I have a whole pile of the politicians' contact information if you'd like to change them. And I'm sorry, there's no Christian time. Thank you, everybody. Oh, and there's feedback forms that you can fill in. Love to get feedback, even if it's about constructive criticism, because it always helps you to do things better. Thanks.